conference will now be recorded.
Good afternoon, all. We'd like to call to order our meeting today of the Accessibility Advisory Council. Today is October the 5th of 2023, and it is 2 p.m. We will begin by calling roll to confirm our quorum. If you would, council members, please answer by saying here. Joe Delvecchio?
He won't be on the call.
Thank you. Sila Miller?
Here.
Beth Meyer? Paul Vixney?
Here.
Thank you. Allison Klein?
Here.
Here.
Dan DiAranzetta?
Here.
And Darlene Liable Crow?
She is supposed to be on the call.
Okay. And Beth Meyer, one more time, are you on the line? We do have a quorum, so we'll move ahead, and perhaps they'll check in with us as they join the line. I'm Marlita Peters. I will help facilitate your meeting today. Our staff on the line are Mo Madani, Justin Vogel, Tom Campbell, Sabrina Evans, and Jen Hammers. Do we have any guests on the line that would like to be recognized for the recording?
Marlita, this is Chip Sellers. I'm on the call, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chip. Yes, you were.
I'm on the call, Marlita.
Thank you. Do we have any guests that would like to be recognized?
Yes, Carlos Diaz and Robbie Fine.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mary.
And what property are you representing, Robert?
Yes, we're here for item 4, Beach Plaza, 1401 Collins Avenue.
Thank you. Any other guests that would like to be recognized?
Yes, Larry Snyder.
Hi, Larry. Are you representing a property, Schneider?
Yes, the first waiver, the 1350 Collins Avenue, waiver number 640.
Any other guests?
Yeah. Good afternoon. This is Arlo Haskell with the Key West Literary Seminar. I'm here as representative for the Elizabeth Bishop House, number 2.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else on the line that would like to be recognized?
Hello. Hi, my name is Sylvia Pavlovsky. I'm representing the architect for property on Harding in Miami Beach. Let me just get that address. Sorry.
Can you tell me your name again? I had to turn my microphone up. You said Elizabeth?
No, Sylvia Pavlovsky.
Sylvia Pavlovsky. Can you spell your last name, please, Sylvia?
P-A-W-L-O-W-S-K-I.
Well, they already bought it recently.
Thank you. And it's 7418
Harding.
Thank you. Item number 3. Any other guests on the line? And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that any sidebar conversations, typing on your computer, or others speaking in the background is picked up by the teleconference. So mute your line if you're not actively participating in the meeting, please, and be mindful of the information and the interference going on around you.
Marlita, this is Brad Schiffer. I'll be at the meeting.
Thank you, Brad. Anyone else who would like to be recognized and our guest? Thank you. And one more time, Beth Meyer or Darlene Liable Crow, have you joined the line? We'll move ahead. First, we'd like to get an approval of our agenda as posted. If there are no recommendations for change, we need a motion and a second.
I, Paul Dixon, move that we approve the agenda.
Thank you. And a second?
This is Allison. I'll second it.
Thank you. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. We'd like to review and approve the previous minutes of August the 8th of 2023 if there are no corrections.
This is Sila Miller. I would move approval of the August 8th minutes as distributed.
A second?
All those in seconds.
Thank you. All those in favor of the minutes as stated, as posted, please vote by saying aye.
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 Then we have the Commission's action of August the 2023 waiver applications. Mr. Madani?
Yes, the Commission actions on the waivers from the last meeting were consistent with the Council's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Our first item of record today is item number one, Orchidea Hotel and Restaurant Waiver number 640. Mr. Sellers?
Yes, the issue is vertical accessibility to the second floors of buildings 1 and 2 and all levels of buildings 3. The project type is an alteration to a 3-2-3 existing buildings. Project progress under design, compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features equals $653,146. The project construction cost is $1,119,331 with a 58% disproportionate cost. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of three existing two-story hotel buildings with 5,789 square feet. The project cost is $1,119,331 for the alteration, with $329,125 towards accessibility. The proposed alteration will consist of renovating the existing guest rooms in Building 1 and Building 2, adding a new bar and new ADA bathrooms to the ground floor of Building 1, removing the existing pool, adding a new kitchen on the ground floor of Building 3, raising up the walkway between Buildings 1 and Building 2 to allow for access via the front entry doors, providing a ramp on the north side of Building 1 for access, and renovating the guest rooms on the second floor of Building 3. In addition, an accessible guest room will be provided and all food services will occur on the first floor. The applicant has submitted two cost estimates of $95,135 and $47,070 for a lift per building. The associated cost to install a lift is $60,937 per building. The applicant alleges substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship.
Mr. Schneider, I presume that you are representing the petitioner and would like to speak.
Yes, that is correct. Mr. Hammers, can I have control of the screen so we can do our presentation, please, sir? Okay, are you seeing our screen? are you seeing this?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This is a request for a waiver for vertical accessibility to the three buildings here at 1350 Collins Avenue. The issue dealing that we are dealing with is Florida Statute 553512. Where a waiver can be given based upon a determination of unnecessary, unreasonable, or extreme hardship, provide such waivers shall not violate federal law. If an applicant for a waiver demonstrates economic hardship in accordance with 28 CFR Section 36.403 parent F parent 1, a waiver shall be granted. This is the language from the statute. The requirement from the statute under 553509 mandates vertical accessibility to all levels, and the issue that we're dealing with is subparagraph C, occupiable spaces and rooms that are not open to the public and house no more than 5 people. And so we're dealing with that. As Mr. Sellers indicated, the buildings in question are three existing two-story buildings. This project is in the historical Miami Beach Historical District in Flamingo Park, which comprised the National Register Art Deco District. Just for your reference, you will also see this information provided in application number 4 by Mr. Fine. Building 1 has 1,071 square feet on the first floor and the same number on the second floor. Building 2 has 640 square feet on the first floor and 1,091 square feet on the second floor. Building 3 has 958 square feet on the first floor and 958 square feet on the second floor. As Mr. Sellers presented in the application that we submitted, access to buildings 1 and 2 will be in the front entry doors by raising up the walkway between these two buildings. In addition, a ramp will be provided on the north side of Building 1 for access. Building 3 is raised up by 4 steps and would not have vertical access to the first and second floor. Building 1 will have a dining area, an accessible bar, and 2 accessible toilet rooms on the first floor. On the second floor, there will be 2 guest rooms. Building 2 will have the kitchen and a dining area on the first floor and 2 guest rooms on the second floor. Building 3 will also have a small kitchen and a very small dining area on the first floor. There will be 2 guest rooms on the second floor, of which 1 will be an accessible guest room. All food service will occur on the first floor. The estimated project budget is $1.3 million. Of this work, you can deduct $828,000 as costs not related to any modifications as outlined for the requirements of the ADA regulations for work that is not associated with the alterations to the primary function area that would affect accessibility. The costs that are associated with the work related to accessibility compliance requirements meet the 20% rule, is $500,000. 20% of this number would be about $101,000. The cost for the installation of 1 vertical platform lift would be $47,000. And for 3, 1 for each building would be $141,000. This is without the cost of the contractor to install them, which has been estimated at a cost of $60,000 per building, which has been provided to you. Therefore, with $505,000 being spent towards accessibility items, plus the cost of 3 lifts, gives you a total of $788,000, which far exceeds the 20% requirement of $101,000. As outlined under the Florida Accessibility Code, Section 202.4.1 talks about disproportionate costs and the requirements of the 20% and what costs you may include in dealing with determining that 20% amount. They are costs associated with finding accessible entrance and accessible routes to the altered area, costs associated with making restrooms accessible, costs associated with providing accessible telephones, costs associated with relocating an inaccessible drinking fountain. Section 202.4.3 of the Florida Accessibility Code, again, repeats the same thing in dealing with accessibility. And it talks about the priority of getting access, an accessible entrance, an accessible route to the altered area, 1 accessible restroom, accessible telephones, accessible drinking fountains where possible, and additional accessible elements such as parking, storage, and alarm. The 2010 ADA standards requirements under 36.403(f)(1)(f) talk about disproportionality and the cost that we talked about, which we decided as they are similar to the Florida Accessibility Code, since the language is the same. Again, the 2010 standards, ADA standards, give you the same list that the Florida Accessibility Code talks about in providing that accessible feature. Let's look at the project drawings affecting this property. As you can see, this is the site located and what this hopefully will eventually look like. This is the 3 buildings. They are 3 independent buildings separated. They're all 2-story, and they have different levels. They all have a second floor to them. This is the site plan. On the upper right-hand corner is the 2-story building 1.
the bottom right-hand corner is building two, and to the far left end is the two-story building three. There's an entry gate on the right side off the sidewalk off of Collins Avenue, which takes you to a walkway vista between buildings one and two. The hatch area on the left side of building two is where a swimming pool used to be. That is being filled in, being proposed to be filled in, and a new deck area is going to be provided at that condition for dining. Here's the first floor for all three buildings a little closer up. As you can see at the top of building one, that is where the ramp is going to be constructed to provide access to the first floor. And to the right of that hatch area are the two new accessible toilet rooms. At the entry doors that are located on the right-hand side, that the walkway is going to be raised up to provide access through those doors into that area. As you can see on building one, which is the top one on the right, there's going to be a bar area. On building two, which is down below, there's the dining area, and then the kitchen to the left. On building three, which is up four steps, there's going to be a very small private dining room, which is probably going to have about three tables for four, the other kitchen prep area, and some employee areas, some coolers and stuff like that for support. The second floor of the buildings are all going to be guest rooms. There's basically going to be two guest rooms per building for a total of six guest rooms. This is a better picture, a larger area of the building one. On the top of the slide here, you will see the first floor area where the outside dining is going to be, the two accessible toilet rooms, and the bar area, which also will provide accessible seating in the bar area. Below that is going to be the second floor of building one, which is going to have two guest rooms. This is building two. This is on the first floor. Basically, it's that dining area and the kitchen. On the second floor, two guest rooms. Building three, this is the first floor, it's just basically going to be the kitchen prep area and the very small private dining, which is really, like I said, probably three tables of four each. On the second floor, there will be an accessible guest room provided and then another guest room. So again, like we mentioned, there's a total of six guest rooms. One will be accessible. This is a section cut through it, and this is rather unique. If you look at the top section on the right-hand side, there actually is a basement in this building, which is rather unique and rare in Miami Beach. On the bottom of it, you see another section. They have a very unique circular stair going up to the second floor at that condition. Other sections through this showing you on the right-hand side as the walkway going back towards building three. In dealing with the project's cost and dealing with determining what the costs are impacting the project, as we noted, we've taken a number of items out. As an example, under the general conditions, there's $117,000. None of these affect accessibility. It talks about superintendent, garbage dumpsters, cleaning, tools and equipment, etc. The site work is basically the septic system, which is, again, that comes out, but that does not affect accessibility. We looked at the concrete work of $128,000. We took 50% of that to be related towards accessibility issues. Again, we take a look at other things under, like, example, finishes. Under the painting and interior and exterior, we took 50%. We took that number as a number towards accessibility. Drywall, we took a percentage of that for accessibility. And dealing with that, we took all the costs under toilet and bath accessibility. Bath accessories, toilet specialty. We took all the costs for the plumbing in dealing with adding up these numbers. We took the issue of the events of down towards the bottom. You see some costs of $53,000 for potential cost overrun, and then an overhead and profit of $212,000, which obviously does not affect accessibility, for a total construction cost of $1.3 million. So when we take these numbers, we exclude the general conditions, we exclude the septic tank, we exclude 50% of the concrete shell, we exclude stucco, paint, half the drywall, the mechanical, they excluded half of the electrical, they excluded the cost overruns and overhead and profit, which turned out to be $828,000. You remove that from the project cost of $1.3, which is $505,000. You're supposed to spend up to 20% of that, which gives you $101,000. Cost being spent towards accessibility, concrete shells, drywall, doors, bathroom, bathing materials, toilet accessories, plumbing, electrical, $502,000. That gives you, and then 20% of the 101 of 502, that far exceeds the 20%. That's without the lift at all. So in summary, since the gross project budget is $1.3 million, and you can deduct $828,000, that's cost not related, the real project budget would then be $505,000 towards accessibility. 20% of that is $101,000. Towards accessibility elements is $505,000. It far exceeds the requirements of 20%. If you add in the cost of the lift of just one lift of $47,000 plus the cost of installing it of $60,000, the cost towards providing accessibility features would then be $505,000 plus $108,000 of $613,000. And you would actually be required to provide three lifts, one for each building. Therefore, based upon this information and the requirements of Florida Statute 553512, a waiver shall be granted for this. As Mr. Sellers noted for the staff analysis concurred with the requirement of not providing vertical access, and therefore the staff recommended granting the request for a waiver for the vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship. Again, so if there's any questions that you have in regards to this, we'd be more than happy to answer them, and we thank you for your time and opportunity to present this to you.
Thank you, Mr. Schneider. Council members, do you have any clarifying questions for either Mr. Schneider or Mr. Sellers? Hearing none, council members, do we have a motion?
Marlita, this is Justin Vogel. Do we want to open up public comment first?
Yes, I was just fixing to do that. Is there anyone from the public with questions or comments? Hearing none, back to the council for discussion and or a motion.
This is Sila. I recommend granting this waiver.
Based on economic hardship?
Yes, ma'am.
We have a second, council members?
Oh, there's no second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to grant this request based on economic hardship, please vote by saying aye.
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 I need to hear all of you, please, council members.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you very much for your time, and have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Schneider. Next, we have item number 2, Elizabeth Bishop House, waiver number 637. Mr. Sellers?
Yes, the issue is vertical accessibility of the first and second floors. The project type is historical preservation alteration, and the project progress is under construction. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility of the first and second floors of a historic two-story house built in 1933 with 1,366 square feet. The applicant is proposing to provide a public garden and educational exhibits focusing on the life and works of poet Elizabeth Bishop. The outdoor component will be open to the public 5 days a week and will have accessible pathways and an accessible ground floor restroom. The interior of the house will include offices for everyday administrative use, occasional exhibits for the public. The architect for the project stated that providing for vertical accessibility of the first floor and second floor would be technically infeasible due to the existing structural condition, which would require removing or altering multiple load-bearing structural members that are essential part of the building structural frame, that such alteration would threaten or destroy the historical integrity of the building. The project cost is $426,619 for the alteration. The alteration will consist of the restoration of the cistern porch and the historic windows and shutters, and providing for a new accessible restroom and accessible path connecting the restroom to the public right-of-way. According to the Florida Department of State, the above referenced property is listed in the National Register of Historic Places as a contributing resource to the Key West National Register Historic District. And compliance with the requirements for vertical accessibility would threaten or destroy the historical integrity of the building. The applicant has provided documentation confirming the historical significance of the property. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds for historic nature of the property and technical infeasibility.
Thank you, Mr. Sellers. And Mr. Arlo Haskell, do you have any additional comments you'd like to make in addition to the staff analysis?
I'll just say good afternoon. I think Mr. Sellers, his analysis, good job of presenting the situation. I just want to say thanks to Mr. Sellers for his help during the process, and thanks to Dr. Lucas at the State Historic Preservation Office for her assistance as well. And I'm here to answer any questions that the council members may have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Council members, any clarifying questions for either Mr. Sellers or Mr. Haskell? Hearing none, anyone from the public with additional comments or questions? Council members, if you would please unmute your lines. Back to you for discussion and or a motion.
This is Allison Klein. I will move to approve the waiver based on the historical nature.
Thank you. Miller, I'll second. We have Ms. Klein and Mr. Vixney with the motion to grant the waiver based on the historical nature of this building. Any further discussion, council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion is granted. Now we're on item number 3, Harding Waiver number 635. Mr. Sellers.
Yes. The issue is vertical accessibility to the first and second floor. The project type is historical preservation alteration, and the project progress is in plan review. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the first and second floor of a historic two-story existing multi-family built in 1946 with 13,396 square feet. The applicant is proposing to convert the building from multi-family building to a hotel. The project cost is $2,100,000 for the alteration. The alteration will consist of removal of existing interior walls, doors, and stairs, the replacement of windows and doors, and upgrading the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing system. According to the City of Miami Beach Planning Department, the above referenced property is listed in the National Register of Historic Places as a contributing resource to the North Shore District Historic District, and that full compliance with the requirements for vertical accessibility would threaten or destroy the historical significance of the building. The applicant has provided documentation confirming the historical significance of the property. Staff recommends granting the request for vertical accessibility on the grounds of the historical nature of the property.
Thank you. And we have Ms. Sylvia Pavlovsky on the line. Do you have any additional comments to add, please?
Just as a extra comment, we did provide a couple rooms on the ground floor to be ADA accessible, and all public features of the building, the lobby, the pool, will all be accessible to the public, to the ADA public.
Thank you. Anyone from the public with additional comments or questions? Hearing none, council members, please unmute your line. Back to you for discussion and a motion.
I, Paul Vixney, move that we approve this waiver based on historical significance.
And this is Allison Klein. I'll second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion to grant based on this historical significance of the property, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion is granted. Our final property to review today is Beach Plaza 1401 through 1409, 1411 at Collins Avenue, waiver number 620. Mr. Sellers?
Yes, issue is vertical accessibility of the basement and the first, second, and third floors of guest rooms. Project type is historical preservation alteration. Project progress and plan review. Note, this waiver request is limited in scope to Beach Plaza 1401. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility of the basement and first, second, and third floors of a historic three-story hotel built in 1936. Project cost is $1 million for the alteration. The proposed alteration will consist of restoring the original historical materials of the historic space, updating guest rooms with new vinyl flooring, new furniture and lighting, and updating guest room bathrooms with new flooring, plumbing fixtures, cabinetry, lighting, and finishes. The engineer for the project stated that the second and third floors are serviced by an elevator with dimensions of 49 inches wide by 38.5 inches deep, with the door clear opening width of 32 inches compared to the FEC accessibility requirement minimum dimensions of 36 inches wide by 54 inches deep. Because of the layout and the historical nature of the building, it would be technically infeasible to expand the elevator shaft in addition to the hotel as an elevator elevated first guest room floor that cannot be serviced by a lift since it would be encroached upon the required means of egress. According to the City of Miami Beach Planning Department, the above referenced property is listed in the National Register of Historic Places as a contributing resource to Miami Beach Architectural District. As the compliance with the requirements of vertical accessibility would require substantial modifications to the historical building and would irreparably harm the very significant design, style, and configuration of the building. The applicant has provided documentation confirming the historical significance of the property. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of the historical nature of the property and technical infeasibility.
Thank you, Mr. Sellers. Mr. Diaz, will you be speaking, or will Mr. Fine be representing you today?
I will be speaking. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Carlos Diaz and Robert Fine on behalf of the applicant. We would like to thank staff for the thorough presentation here. As Sellers mentioned, this is a historically designated property located at 1401 Collins Avenue in Miami Beach. We're requesting a vertical accessibility waivers for the vertical accessibility from the lobby to the first floor and from the lobby to the second and third floors of the building. As you can see in the detailed in the statement provided by the architect and the letter from the city's historic preservation officer, the requested waivers should be granted based on the historic nature of the property and technical accessibility. The first waiver being requested is for vertical accessibility from the lobby to the first floor. As a lot of the historic buildings in this area have the same condition where you step into the lobby and then there's like 4 or 6 steps to go into the first floor. So we have that same condition here. And in order to provide, it's just the stairs only about 60 inches wide, and it also serves as the means of egress for the building, right? It's the only hallway there. So in order to provide, if you were to provide a lift within that area, it would be around 41 inches based on the ones that we studied, which would only leave 19 inches for that hallway, which is way less than the 44 inches required for that means of egress. In order to reconfigure that area, which is along the historically designated lobby here, it would be technically feasible, and that's explained in the architect's letter. The second waiver that we're requesting is for the elevator, which takes you from the lobby to the second and third floors. And the issue with the elevator is that it's undersized based on the current standards. The elevator is only about 38 and a half inches deep, and the requirement is 54 inches. However, if you can see this in the floor plans that we have provided, so the elevator can only be expanded. In order for the elevator to meet the depth requirement, we can only go into the behind the elevator, which there is a plumbing riser that goes all throughout the building to all three floors, and there's bathrooms right behind that, so it makes it technically infeasible to expand that way. Then the other possibility would be expanding into the lobby, which would obviously threaten or destroy the historic character of the building. Yeah, so we have provided the historic images of the building and the current images. I don't know if Mr. Sellers maybe can share those, but Steve, if not, you have them in the package. Yeah.
I've just requested Mr. Hammers. He's trying to get there. Just give us a moment.
I'm having some difficulty with it. Just give me a minute, please.
No worries. Thank you. Then the last thing we wanted to...
Which one are we looking for?
The photo montage for 1401, next to the last. Yeah, there it is. So you can see here, number one, you can see the right images of the building. If you go to page two, there. So this is the historic image of the lobby, and you can see the elevator to the left and the stairs. That would take you to the first floor. It's right there. So those are basically the two areas that we're discussing. So if you can keep scrolling down, next image. Yeah, there you can see the current images of the lobby, including the elevator and those stairs. If you go down, then we have another image that shows you clearly where the stairs are located. There it is, yeah. So here's the stairs. So this is where we cannot widen this hallway, which is visible right from the lobby, right? It's only 60 inches wide right now. And then you can see some historic images of the elevator, which is part of the historic character on the lobby of the building. Yeah, if you can go down. Here's the inside of the elevator. So as you can see, the elevator is sufficiently wide, but the issue is the depth of the elevator. Right. And then we wanted to mention that although the elevator is undersized, based on the current standards, it does provide accessibility to a significant number of people who can use it based on their mobility limitations.
Hi, this is Robert Fine. I just want to add in that under the current ADA regulations, there's now a requirement that hotels provide information on accessible features on their websites and other marketing information and elements that are not accessible. So somebody who chooses to try and book a room here has an opportunity to find out whether or not, whether it's a wheelchair or other mobility device will work in this elevator. And if not, the hotel's reservation staff is happy to book them in accessible accommodations in the neighborhood around them. So the risk of someone showing up and not be able to use an undersized elevator to get to their hotel room is, you know, that kind of concern is not the way it was several years ago before the rules changed.
Yeah. With that, I think we conclude our presentation. We remain available to answer any questions that the council may have.
Thank you. Does anyone from the public have any comments or questions for Mr. Diaz or Mr. Fine or even Mr. Sellers? Hearing none. Council members, any clarifying questions from you?
Yeah, this is Allison Klein. So there's talk about two different waivers. Are we looking at one waiver or two?
It depends on, at the end of the day, I believe the commission's going to write one order. So there's two different conditions, and whether the council chooses to consider them separately or as one, I think that's up to you.
Who is speaking?
I'm sorry, this is Robert Fine.
Okay, so somebody from, like Chip or somebody, can you tell me what we're supposed to be looking at?
This is Justin Vogel, the commission's attorney. I think that the way that we typically handle this, we don't get into the details of the elevator dimension. The commission can grant waivers to Florida-specific vertical accessibility requirements, and in a general sense, that's what it's going to be doing. And so I think that will achieve what the petitioner is asking for. Mr. Fine, does that comport with your understanding?
Yes, that would be fine.
And so it would be as the staff's recommendation has been drafted. It would be granting it on those grounds, and I think that would cover the petitioner's issues with the historical nature and the technical and feasibility.
Okay, thank you.
Council members, any further questions? Council members, if all of you would unmute your lines, it's back to you for discussion and or a motion.
This is Sila Miller. I move to grant the waiver based on the historical nature, and I appreciate you all going the extra mile with regard to helping people who need it to get booked someplace else.
Thank you.
This is Mom Madani. Is there any way that the motion also will include technical and feasibility?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Thank you.
Have a second on the motion. Thank you, Mr. Bixney. Any further discussion, council members? Those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion stands. Is there any further public comment at this time?
Thank you for your time and attention to this matter. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Fine. Council members, any comments or staff comments at this time? Hearing none, it is 2:43. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good afternoon. Our meeting is adjourned. Thank you for your time.
Have a good afternoon.
This conference is no longer being